remember, and many of us know it but may not realize it, in terms of Vedic economics, we've mentioned it a few times, and this is the definition. Krishi Goraksha Vanijam Vaisha Karma Swabhavajam. Farming, cow protection, and business. Business based on farming and cow protection. Surplus, actually. Are the natural work for the Vaishyas. Sometimes people misunderstand. It's not that only Vaishyas keep cows in the Vedic culture. It's not only Vaishyas who produce food. Brahmanas also keep cows. Kshatriyas also keep cows. Everyone is connected, actually, because that's the dominant culture, isn't it? Cows, land, and production, natural production of food. There's a very well-known prayer or mantra that whenever we perform a Gopuja, this is the mantra that we use. Coming up just now. Yeah. Namo Brahmanya Devaya, Go Brahmana Hitaya Cha, Jagat Hitaya Krishnaya, Govindaya Namo Namaha. So the whole world actually can become protected if we learn to protect these two most special living entities, most important living entities, cows and brahmanas. And cows and brahmanas in that order. Here's a quote from the Mahabharata that is underlining the importance of first giving attention to cows. Tratavya pratamam, pratamam agava. Tratha trayanti tadvijan go brahmana paritrane paritratam jagat bhavet. First of all, cows should be protected. Cows thus protected will in turn protect the brahmanas. Actually, cows protect everyone, especially the brahmanas, in that they provide all that they need for them to perform their brahminical activities, beginning every day with performing puja, with all kinds of samskaras, with establishing deities in our temples. It cannot be done without brahmanas or diksha initiation ceremony that was going on. No jagya, no homa, no fire sacrifice is possible without ghee and without grains, isn't it? And that is from cows. Thus, when protection of cows and brahmanas is achieved, then the whole world becomes protected. This is the simple formula, simple definition for economic stability, for economic sustainability, and for economic prosperity. And the modern world doesn't know about it. And many of our devotees also, unfortunately. I mean, they know the verse, or they know similar verses, or they've heard about it, but very few have actually experienced it, and very few really understand what it means, unfortunately. From Mahabharata. Now we go to what is meant to be the holistic understanding of cow protection. We should know that cow protection, or protection of cows, is the only means to ensure our own protection. In the last century and ongoing in the present century, We are trying to bypass the cows. We are bypassing in so many ways how cows are meant to be protected and utilized in agriculture. And as a result, we can see that, well, this will be coming up in the presentation here, all kinds of chaotic conditions are being created. A few quotes from Srila Prabhupada. Human society needs only sufficient grain and sufficient cows to solve its economic problems. All other things but these two are artificial necessities created by man to kill his valuable life. This strong and direct statement by Srila Prabhupada. Grains and cows, that is the Vedic economy, land and cows. Another one, if we have sufficient grains, fruits, vegetables, etc., what is the necessity of running slaughterhouses? Why should, if human civilization has sufficient of these basic necessities, why should it hanker after terrible industrial enterprises, factories and industries, etc.? That's the one here, actually. And then from the fourth canto of the Bhagavatam, advancement of human civilization depends not on industrial enterprises, but on possession of natural wealth and natural food. Again, natural wealth means land. Natural wealth means cows. This is Krishna's natural arrangement. Here's another quote. This is from a lecture in 1972. Cow protection means just like Bhagavan. He's tending the cows. He's going, taking the cows personally, not hiring somebody. Whole day he is out with the cows, whole day working. This is cow protection. It's not a labor-intensive activity. We read about the pastimes of Krishna and Balaram and the cowherd boys. They're having fun all day looking after the cows. Another reference, again in 1972. Not that somebody will give money and we shall keep some third-class cows and feed there and become a cow protector. We must tend the cows very nicely so that they give us sufficient milk. Tending cows actually means it should be done by devotees. Whatever, to a large extent, whatever cow protection is ongoing within our society is not to that standard. Cows know it also. You know. We read in Shastra how cows, when the living entity in the cow leaves the body, that living entity, by the law of nature, enters into human form. And it is established scientifically that the biological makeup of a cow, its hormones, its genes, and so many, all the fabric biological makeup is the closest to human being than any other animal. And then again in Tokyo, no, because we're giving protection to cow, you send money for the cows and the cow protectors and earn money there and give us money. We shall eat nicely and sleep. So this is not the ideal of what Vedic culture means by protecting cows. We'll see also how, you know, we speak of Goshala. The Goshala concept is somewhat of a modern concept, in that generally cows are not meant to be at one place and fed at that place also. We'll be touching on that a little bit more. What is the purpose of ISKCON? So Srila Prabhupada writes, this Krishna consciousness movement is for the protection of Brahminical culture and cows. On so many occasions, Prabhupada, very often when he speaks about Brahmanas, he also makes a reference to cows. A very nice quote from the Light of the Bhagavatam. The first thing for those who wish to cultivate spiritual life, those who are anxious to cultivate the human spirit must turn their attention first toward the question of cow protection. It should not be like down on the list, it should be on the top of the list. Gava pratistha bhutanam is one of the statements in so many prayers and glorifications of Mother Cow. Gava pratistha bhutanam. Cow actually sustains the entire universe. If we want that universe to be cohesive, harmonious, happy, cows must be there. And if we want the opposite, as we are seeing all over the world, then we continue to neglect the cows. So we mentioned about holistic approach. Actually, this presentation is the remaining, or a large portion of the remaining slides are taken from Dr. Sri Kumar, who is actually, him and his wife are professional veterinarians. They were practicing for 20 years in the ordinary way that veterinarians practice. And then they came in contact with devotees and Krishna consciousness. And now they have taken up service and practice within our ISKCON temples, especially in Karnataka, ISKCON Belgaum temple, and also Gokul Dham. They become very knowledgeable about what is meant to be the Vedic standard and the Vedic norm in terms of cow protection and soil management also. These are the areas. Holistic approach have benefits in terms of the environment, in terms of society, in terms of spiritual benefit, as well as economic benefit. Of course, this is known by all devotees that cow is one of our seven mothers. Therefore, all mothers need to be cared for and protected. What are some of the spiritual and material benefits of cows? Cows remind us of Krishna. There is, because cows are so dear to Krishna, if we think of cows, we'll think of Krishna. If we think of Krishna, we should also think of cows. It works both ways. If we think of Krishna and don't think about his cows, then something's missing. That's why on the altar, like here they have on the main altar of Sri Sri Radha Vrindavan Chandra, very nice. I think I saw three cows, right? Okay. So most temples actually where there are Radha and Krishna deities. Of course, even if there are no deities in the temple, or which is the case for most of us, or most of our congregational members who are householders, still one should have pictures of cows or statues of cows. It's one of the many recommendations that we give to create this kind of awareness of the importance of cows and do arati on a regular basis. Material benefit, of course, nutritional, environmental. And there are direct and indirect benefits of cows. Nourishes us with milk, naturally, one of the and also ensures when the proper amount of milk is allowed or given to the cows so that they can grow within a short period of time as healthy cows, yeah, within a 6-month period. Indirect, and this is practically unknown or misunderstood in modern day agriculture, cows and bulls, when they are allowed to graze, and most of the day that's what they should be doing, they nourish the soil with dung and urine, and that in turn gives us good quality, healthy foods, vegetables, etc. Another important dimension is what is called animal impact, as opposed to tractor impact. Everything that we study actually in the Vedic context, like these different major divisions, sciences, they're actually very deep in terms of what they are explaining, and one needs to take sufficient time to actually understand the deep inner meanings of all of these different aspects. For example, in terms of animal impact, simply by walking on the soil, the cows or the bulls, they break the surface of the soil so that actually when it rains, the rains can actually penetrate the soil. It also allows, because of the cow dung and urine that falls on that soil, it allows for different seeds that are hiding or hidden within the soil to actually come up. The devotee in Vishnunam, vice president of ISKCON Ahmedabad, he was actually following some of these practices presented by Dr. Sri Kumar, where you have cows grazing in a very methodical way. And he was surprised, he was amazed to see that actually grass that he had never seen before on his land was coming up. Because the needed ingredients allowing that to happen, mainly this ongoing walking. It's like when cows walk on the land, they massage the land. It's like massaging the land. And Mother Earth becomes very pleased, as opposed to having this monstrous tractor tire, you know, just like poof. It suffocates, doesn't allow for this natural breathing and interaction to take place. Rather, the opposite takes place. Grazing is a major science. Krishna and Balaram, 5,000 years ago, they were naturally and automatically doing these things by taking the cows to different forests, isn't it? And therefore, we see in the wonderful descriptions in the Krishna book how the land was producing in abundance and how the cows also were so happy that they were, the milk was dripping from their milk bags and just flooding the land. So here it mentions how the cow's gut acts like a living compost pile, turning vegetation into high quality fertilizer. One of different reasons why cow dung and also cow urine is so powerful in terms of a fertilizer, so powerful in terms of medicinal value as well. By grazing, by allowing cows to graze in a methodical way, they prune the plants, providing rest periods resulting in regrowth, if we know how to systematically graze the land. Yeah. It's a whole science, you know, how to deal with the land, how to deal with the cows, how to deal with the land and the cows. This is a picture of land that needs to be given some rest. And this section explains why. This is the result after 3 months. This is the result after 6 months. Of course, one of the major problems all over India and practically all over the world also is that because of our continued, you know, expansion through industrialization, etc., we have taken away the land that was actually meant for cows, isn't it? It's interesting how even in a place like Ukraine, which is way out there in Europe, far from India, to this day they actually have land that is reserved for cows, for grazing of cows. So why is it necessary to learn this science? Here it mentions how it all has to do with roots, actually. When we allow the land to rest, then these roots have an opportunity to grow and to penetrate deeper in the soil. And it produces a whole chain. I'm not biologist or have not studied this topic very deeply, but there's all kinds of chemical reactions that take place actually in the soil. And naturally, the longer the roots go into the soil, they extract, isn't it, different minerals from the soil. And all of that comes up, and the cows eat this grass and benefit. So there's such a thing as what is called root diversity, as we can see here. Why is it important to allow the cows to go out grazing as opposed to being you know, bunched in a goshala? Because this is not the natural way the cows are meant to eat their food. They are they are feeding themselves, they are taking this grass in an unnatural environment. And therefore, working against nature. How they are working against nature? They're eating forages isolated from the soil. They're not exposed to the natural sunlight. Sunlight actually very important for all of us. You know that the best medicine and the free medicine is sunlight. Prabhupada used to mention how when he was in Mayapur, if in the winter months one spends half an hour or 1 hour in the early morning in the sunlight, one will be healthy for the whole year. Sunlight is like free medicine. And also, when they are in a goshala, very often, whoever is serving or working in the goshala, at different times, isn't it, they'll bring grass to the cows, and at different times they will bring water. But actually, the more natural system is that cows are meant to have constant access to both feed and constant access to water. I mean, we can't tell. We don't know when a cow is thirsty. But if she doesn't have access, then that affects negatively. When the cows recycle the grasses, the dung has nowhere to go. Where soil life forms will process it to perform there are many beneficial functions. So it's not natural, actually. This is another, there are many things one learns by giving a little bit of cow dung. We consider cow dung very, I mean, very important. It is, of course, because it's of its many properties. It's medicinal. It helps in the fertility of the soil, but actually cow dung for a cow is dung. And therefore the practice in many goshalas is that they remove the cow dung only after long periods of time, which is not a healthy situation. And those who keep who follow this system, they have, therefore, these manure pits, which is not actually natural. When we go against nature, then we create all kinds of negative situations or reactions. This is what manure pits look like, and they are actually producing this kind of effect on trees that are close by. In other words, when cows are not allowed to graze and to naturally pass urine and cow dung, which then in a natural way gets recycled within the earth, and when we create these kind of artificial situations, then this goes against nature. On the other hand, when we work with nature, the cows move in a natural way. They're free, they're more happy, and the benefit goes especially to the cows. as well as to the soil. So in other words, viticulture, by this practice of herding the cows, going as Krishna and Balaram did on a daily basis, is a more natural way of actually caring for the cows, a more natural way as well to fertilize the soil. So this is what happens when we allow this grazing to take place. The cow dung and urine falls on the soil, and then all kinds of insects and living entities in the soil, they know what's going on up there. They come up and they bring it down. And if one analyzes this closely, it creates, as we can see here, holes, different holes. Again, this is very scientific. The more this process is allowed to take place, living entities make holes to go up to the surface to bring down the food. And when the rains come, then the rains, in a natural way, actually filter down into the soil, isn't it? And in this way, there's a whole natural mechanism that takes place, which helps the soil to become more and more fertile, building the soil. And here, Dr. Sri Kumar explains a bit more about animal impact. Animal impact is everything that livestock do to the land. This includes dunging, urinating, hoof action, as I was mentioning, you know, breaking the soil, rubbing, salivating. Animal impact is the most powerful tool we have to manage grassland resources. It affects utilization, reduces spot grazing, controls weed and brush competition, etc. So again, this is a more natural and scientific way. There's also something about what is called a high density, short time. Of course, in the natural way, as practiced by Krishna and Balaram, because so much land was available, so many forests were there in Vrindavan, they would keep the cows for a certain time, and then they would move to other areas. So when there's, and they had, you know, 900,000 cows, so when you have a large number of cows, this has a very positive effect. And of course, it goes into details which we will not, I'll just show you briefly some of the charts. I have not studied this into detail, but there is a ratio and a relationship between how much land one has and the number of cows. So one needs to spend a bit of time to actually study this, which we're not going to do today. Main point we should learn is how to have the cows doing what they're meant to do in a more natural way and in a more natural environment, which means actually in the field, grazing land. And where we allow nature to take its own course. And this is what happens. This shows an area where when cows are in one area, after passing cow dung and cow urine, then this is what it looks like. There's something about, I was mentioning a few minutes ago, this tunnel system, nature's way of making the land again, or we could say of building up the topsoil, of building up the topsoil. And these are the effects that are there. There is what is called a flow-on effect. I'm less familiar with this, but we can easily understand how water more easily will infiltrate the soil and allow for more diversity as well, stronger roots, etc. Yeah. There's an expression or a phenomena that is called bioturbation, which is what we were just referring to or explaining. And this chart goes into detail. We'll not study this very much because the chart is not so clear anyways. So in other words, there's a whole natural and scientific reaction that takes place when we do things in a more natural way. And this can be seen by those who follow this process or this system. I want to spend a few minutes in some references actually from the Shastra regarding in connection with cows. This is from the Atharva Veda. Those ill-advised who do not devote their time and labor for utilizing the family cows. Family cows, the expression is there. Cows are meant to be part of the family. Just like nowadays, one devotee was making the observation last time I was here in Pune. He was telling, actually, our generation has made a big mistake. What is that mistake? He was telling that actually we have been taught to have only one or two children. So in a similar way, one of the big mistakes modern day society is responsible for is for having disconnected ourselves with the cows. Not understanding, not knowing that actually cows are meant to be part of our family. So here it mentions how people who do not devote their time and labor for looking after cows properly and growing crops, they will suffer from pests, insects, diseases, etc. And what happens when we don't follow? This is the system and the directives given in the Shastra. Our Shastras give us all this kind of information, and when we don't follow, we create what is called one of the major global problems on the planet right now, which is actually affecting our ability to feed the majority of the residents on this planet. This global problem is called the problem of desertification. At present, 183 countries in the world are not able to produce proper food or sufficient food because of soil deficiency, because of not following this natural system of animal impact. So because we are utilizing, and there are four enemies to natural agriculture, beginning with chemical fertilizers, chemical pesticides, tractors, and hybrid seeds. And in modern day agriculture, that's all we see, isn't it? Practically speaking. So we are unknowingly destroying our very livelihood. I mean, our very means of life, which is produce from the land. Someone mentioned how it takes today 7 oranges to match what 1 orange used to give in terms of nutrients. Or we've all heard the expression, an apple a day keeps the doctor away. Now you need 7 apples. And who can digest 7 apples? You know. So the idea is that you need to actually, you need to have 7 apples to get the nutrients that used to be in 1 apple. All of the food that most of us are purchasing, commercial food, that's what's happening to this food. And that's one of many reasons why we should be growing our own food, isn't it? And the natural way to grow the food is by having land, by having land that is properly cared for. There's one well-known biologist who actually was able to, by Krishna's mercy, get some understanding and realizations on the importance of cow dung. I recently saw a short documentary where he's giving a lecture at a major university in America. So the, you know, the hall is full of students and professors. In the middle of his lecture, he takes out a plate and he shows it to everyone. Do you know what this is? Then he goes on to say, the content of this plate is the only thing that actually can save humanity today. It's cow dung. Everyone looks at him and, oh, yeah. In disbelief. But he makes the point that there is no material undertaking, no corporation, no government, no project, no endeavor that can actually give the kind of result that cow dung can give. So viticulture actually is based on cow economy, cow-based economy. One person wrote a paper, I quote him in this book, Modernity is Killing Civilization. He came to the nice conclusion, the only thing that can remedy the situation is, you know, dung, 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 and only dung, cow dung. And here are different symptoms that demonstrate how our environment becomes dysfunctional, and that like 80% of the soil in the world today is in a critical condition. Eroding soil, dying wells, springs, rivers, and lakes. Well, we see this all over the place in India as well. Droughts and floods, diseases of plants, etc. Isn't it? So we are destroying our very means of what we need actually to live. And also additional symptoms. We've pointed that out. The exodus from villages to the cities and slums, because in cities there are many slums also, all kinds of crimes and violence, not able to produce crops, and on a larger scale, different wars, etc., taking place. So now we come to the actual solution. Many of the villages that we visit, farmers tell us, actually we can't do natural farming. We have labor problems. There's no one. But we have created this labor problem, isn't it? By sending people out of our villages. So what is the role of a cowherd boy or cowherd man? Cowherds. They eliminate the symptoms of environmental dysfunction and thus ensure our protection and the protection of generations to come. And by protecting cows, we should know that we are protecting our soil. By protecting our soil, we are protecting ourselves. The quote that we mentioned earlier, by protecting cows, actually the whole world, isn't it? The brahmanas become protected and the whole world becomes protected. What we are lacking very much in the world today are cowherds. So this slide was put together by Dr. Sri Kumar, as many of these slides were. If anyone is looking for a career, yeah, that can assure you the real food, real water, real knowledge, and real environment, then the only career available to human beings is cow care and land management. Actually, we're signing up people today. Patram pushpam phalam toyam. The real meaning of this verse, it's interesting, actually, there's a purport by Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, whereby there's some further insights being given. And that was commented by one of our devotees, senior devotees. And that realization is that Krishna becomes more pleased, more happy, more satisfied when he knows that actually whatever comes out of the soil has initially been put into the soil. The seed has been put into the soil by a devotee. And that soil has been nurtured, personally taken care of, watered with care and attention by the devotee. That seed, our former minister for cow protection, Balabhadra Prabhu, he would give the following nice explanation. He would go to temples and ask them, how many devotees in your temple? They would say, oh, 10, 15. Oh. How many, this would be in rural farm community, how many cows do you have? Oh, yeah, they're also devotees, you know. Then he would go to, he would take them in the garden. How many tomato plants do you have? They're all devotees. You know, this kind of understanding or consciousness. They're all serving Krishna. They're all living entities in these different bodies wanting to serve Krishna. So if from the beginning, devotees are the ones preparing the soil, putting in the seeds, watering the plants, caring for the plants, to the point of harvesting the produce and then bringing that produce with love and devotion and offering to the Lord, how much more pleased Krishna will be. And how much more healthy those produce will be, isn't it? This is actually the Vedic norm or the Vedic standard. And most important, we were making reference, sarva kama duga mahi, all of our necessities come from the land. And modern day way of living and modern lifestyle has completely taken us away from this more natural system. Therefore, even in many of our own ISKCON goshalas where we keep cows, we are not following this more natural system. Therefore, the need to reconnect cows and the land, the need for allowing the cows to spend their maximum time on the land. I'll just go to another quote, not this one, from the Rig Veda. See, all of this information is there in our Shastra. Farmlands with cows, right? Land where we allow cows to graze, retain water and maintain healthy soil organisms. With twin bounties, urine and cow and dung of cows, which eliminate harmful microorganisms and keep soil fertile, like sun and rains make the land free from harmful pests, make it fertile. Our seers or sages of bygone days have given us, just like I was mentioning to Srinath Prabhu the other day, how there is one writing called Vrikshayurveda, the science of growing trees and the importance of growing trees. I'll tell you one of the verses from that, if I remember this correctly now. How important are trees? Of course, in India, it's like a cultural thing. That generally speaking, the trees will be protected, and therefore you see trees sometimes coming out of somebody's rooftop. Even in Ukraine, where I was, they also give that same importance for cows. So, anyways, the verse in this Vrikshayurveda goes as follows. I'm just giving a translation. We know how in a village, if there's no water, if there's no well, people cannot live in, you know, cannot live there. So the verse explains how 10 wells is equal to one pond. Naturally, a pond is bigger, more water. 10 wells is equal to one pond. Then 10 ponds is equal to one, what is it? Huh? One lake. I think I'm missing one. But anyways, 10 ponds is equal to one lake, and 10 lakes are equal to one son in the family, and 10 sons are equal to one tree. Just follow that. It means that a tree, because it provides so much to people and to the soil, to the earth, is considered in our Vedic culture as extremely valuable. It helps to retain water in the soil. It gives shade, gives all kinds of needed objects. So we're kind of coming to a close here actually with this presentation. Therefore, we as devotees know that our model cowherd boy is Krishna, Krishna and Balaram. What are the real cow products when we follow real holistic cow protection? This is an important statement. Those which prevents as against those sold to cure diseases. Products that prevent us from getting disease, as opposed, in other words, prevention is better than? Huh? Yes. This point is being brought out because more and more of our devotees are getting into, it started some time back, which is in itself not necessarily bad, but it does become bad when we lose the long-term vision. I'm talking about Panchagavya products. The danger, the tendency is to get into a whole market business-oriented thing. It is very good to bring awareness to devotees about, you know, the cows give us different byproducts and they can be helpful in so many ways. But the real long-term cow products that we should know, the real long-term cow products are what we produce from the soil. When we produce natural foodstuffs in terms of millets or grains, when we have trees that allow for, or cows grazing that allows for the soil to retain more water, when we grow our own wheat, when we grow flowers, this is what actually is a real benefit. And from the Bhagavatam, do they not require, therefore, a proper protection for a joyful life? By being fed with a sufficient quantity of grass in the field, why should man kill cows for their selfless purpose? And this, Prabhupada mentions, was my dream. That a place should be there where we can get all nice foods, best of foods, milk. Krishna is fulfilling our desire. A few more quotes actually, this one from the Light of the Bhagavat. Protection of cows is not merely a religious sentiment, but a means to secure the highest benefit for human society. And in various lectures given by Srila Prabhupada, this is what he would again and again repeat, that the most important business of human society is cow protection. And mainly or mostly we are neglecting cow protection. Obviously, in the general, you know, modern world, we are neglecting. And unfortunately, we have to say that within ISKCON, in general, we are also neglecting. And therefore, cows must be given all protection. I will stop here to allow us for some more discussion, because actually in the previous sessions we kind of ran out of time. So as I mentioned a little earlier, in all of the previous presentations, in many ways they were like a preparation to help us understand this whole aspect or dimension of the Vedic culture. And unless, I mean, this is one of our, I would say, major mandates given to us by our founder Acharya, Srila Prabhupada, when Prabhupada makes the statement that one of the purposes of our ISKCON society is to bring a complete overhaul in society. And then he continues by explaining to revert to the natural system given in our Shastra in terms of Varna and Ashrama. This means actually coming back to this more Vedic natural way of living, living off the land, and growing our own food, none of which we can do properly, none of which we can do in a sustainable way without learning the need and the importance, absolute need and absolute importance of Mother Cow. So do we have, I don't see the mic, or the microphone is there. If anyone has any comments, questions, or reflections.
Hare Krishna. Maharaj, I just want to add some information on the one information I know. It is said that when we take milk, even a drop of a milk falls down, the cow comes to know that, you know, that that next time the cow doesn't give the milk. So much of importance it is. In Gokuldham, Madhav Prabhu was saying this.
Okay.
So I just wonder, because sometimes we take milk and we spill it. We don't give importance for that.
Yeah, every single drop is important.
Hare Krishna Maharaj. Maharaj, you were mentioning about grazing cows openly. So earlier we used to see in every village there is to be place for grazing cows.
Gochar Bhumi.
So now we don't see that available. And that is one of the reasons, you know, villagers find it difficult. So is there any effort being done in that direction, or what can be done so that we can help villagers to keep cows? Because see, one of the you were mentioning that we ourselves become the cow herd, that is the ideal, but at the same time we have to protect cows and encourage more people like villagers and everybody. Then no, in the villages we used to see that every day they used to take cows. One gwala will be there and he will take cows out. Yes. In the field.
Mm.
So, what can we do?
Well, obviously, we, like in every state here in India, government have different lands. And we really don't have, at least to my knowledge, many devotees thinking about how to arrange or how to approach different authorities, whether it's on, you know, the village level or other levels, to make a land available. What you're saying is very true, that from the time India became independent, within the constitution it was and still is there, that certain amount of land was designated for the cows. And this seems to have been a practice. I was mentioning earlier how in Ukraine they have this practice. Even like today, it seems like there's more land available in Ukraine for cows than we find here in India. So it is an extremely critical situation for farmers and for everyone. Therefore, we need to have some of our devotees do what is possible to bring this up to individuals who might be in a position to set aside some land or make land available for that to actually happen. Actually, we should be, again, because we don't, we have so few people thinking about this, but we should have, ISKCON should have, ISKCON here in India, to begin with, because this is especially here in India that we should actually set the standard and set the pace. And with, you know, various legislation in place supporting cow care at present here in India, we should be making a much bigger effort than we are to, for example, in every, it should be a major, I would say, development plan on our part as an ISKCON society, especially because we have also a ministry for cow protection, you know, to make proposals in each state to the government at each state, within each state, to develop such kind of project where cows would be cared for and where sufficient land would be made available. there's a particular department, I think, what, the collectorate. In each state, there is one particular department or person in charge of land, for example, who knows about land. Sometimes we approach government for some temple land. Well, we can also approach them for this purpose. At least we should be making an effort in this way. And of course, a long-term solution will only come when there are individuals in government, either the present existing ones, but with a changed mentality, or who understand these basic principles given in the Shastra, or out and out, you know, devotees who can become leaders within society, because ultimately, as Prabhupada explains and as our philosophy is also telling us, there should be God-conscious leadership. So God-conscious leadership means especially Vaishnava leadership, who will be able to take up these matters seriously and make the necessary adjustments or changes. Now what is happening in the name of economic development, isn't it? The government is allowing all kinds of industries to occupy and take over. I mean, we were visiting a village near Kakinada, for example, in Andhra, and that village happened to be close to that city, and because cities are expanding more and more, they're just taking a huge portion of that village, and the farmers have practically no say in it. So they're already short of land for the cows, and now more of that land is going. So we have to do what we can to actually also exercise whatever influence we can so that proper policies can be followed or established or introduced in government. Ultimately, major changes can only be made in two ways. You know, that there is a God-conscious government leading and enacting different legislation, or that Krishna comes along and he just does it in his own way that we would never think about. So we still, you know, we have this opportunity. It's not that we're not doing anything about it, but we could definitely be doing a lot more in terms of preaching and influencing persons who are in very responsible posts or positions within. Again, it comes back to some basic gross misunderstanding in terms of what, how society should be arranged and what are the priorities. We speak about development, but what modern leaders today refer as development is very different from what we understand to be real development, isn't it? So many villages are being destroyed, land is being destroyed because of bad policies regarding what we call modern or agro-business, agriculture, factory farming, all the, you know, modern dairy industry, totally destructive because we are lacking, you know, the first session, the first of the four sciences is absent, isn't it? The science of philosophy, the science of dharma is missing, even here in India, what to speak of outside of India. And therefore, this basic fundamental, we are in a real crisis situation when it comes to food right now, because we have not followed these principles which are meant to be the norm in society in terms of how to properly utilize our land, how to build up the topsoil, how to keep our land fertile, as opposed to what we have been doing for the last, you know, century by increasing more and more machines, by the whole process of industrialization. So this, what we call modernity or modernism, which is based on increased industrialization, increased mechanization, increased obsession, you know, for so-called material advancement and material development, is killing us in so many different ways. So therefore, we have to know, again, this principle we mentioned a few times, we have to know what is the real standard so that we can demonstrate that when we don't follow this standard, we should not be surprised to get the kind of results that we have. So this is a very major and important area that we as ISKCON, as a society, should be doing much, much more than we are, you know. So there's two ways we can actually do this. For example, by creating our own communities, something that Prabhupada spoke about, on the one side, or by going to existing communities. Existing means existing villages, and working with the local people, which is not immediately obvious because they're also caught up in what they have been taught by bad government, you know, bad policies. And they're in a fix now because most of them have debts. They don't, you know, some of them would like to come back or reintroduce natural farming, but they don't know how to do that. And so therefore, we should learn. We have some individuals, not many, we have some individuals within our society who have the proper understanding, who have knowledge also in terms of how to revert to the more natural, what we call cow-based agriculture, isn't it? We need more devotees to be knowledgeable and familiar with this, and who can help our different congregational devotees understand that, okay, even if we're living in the cities, we need to know about this. And to whatever extent that we can act on it, we should. Yeah. Otherwise, what's happening, I was telling, I mean, because I'm going in the villages, and just recently, or I think before coming to Pune, in some of the villages, where was it? Maybe either Andhra or Telangana. We go to some villages now, and we cannot even find one bull in that village. What does that mean? It means that whatever cows may be there in the village, those are the last cows, isn't it? And when cows will actually, as they are, as we speak right now, as more and more cows become less present, as cows disappear from the villages, then those villages will soon no longer be villages. So we are destroying the very roots of our culture and civilization. We are destroying our very means of livelihood. And by this, you know, increased and ongoing a world of mechanization, we are creating all kinds of severe imbalances in society, in the environment as well, to an extent that we actually are not even able to comprehend or understand. So some of our devotees need to be aware of what is taking place on these different levels, and not only, by becoming more aware of the negative things that are taking place, of the destruction that is ongoing at a very on a very massive scale and at a very increasing level as well. I mean, very quickly. And knowing what is meant to be, what is our Vedic standard, what is our Vedic norm, then we can more easily, we should be able to more easily find means and ways, rather, to bring about changes. So, of course, our major message to the world as Krishna conscious devotees is based, you know, on Lord Chaitanya's Sankirtan mission, introducing the chanting of the holy name. Simultaneously, we should not be neglecting our responsibility also to introduce what our Shastras is telling us in terms of how we are meant to live, how we are meant to properly utilize Krishna's energy, Krishna's material nature. Cow is a mother, land is also a mother, and knowledge, these three gifts of nature we were explaining earlier today or possibly yesterday. These are three mothers that are severely being damaged and neglected in modern day society since many decades now, and it is ongoing. And this is also very much part of our responsibility because it is Krishna's nature. Any additional comments? The microphone can.
Hare Krishna Maharaj, thank you so much for the enlightening seminar. There are so many things that we have learned. I have a very rudimentary question, and my apologies beforehand, even in case I sound very silly. You have said that Vedic society was basically agrarian culture. So my question is, like, agrarian culture means Krishi, Goraksha and Vanijam. So, was the Vedic society predominantly of the Vaishya Varna in that case?
Okay. Was the Vedic culture predominantly based on Vaishya?
Yeah.
Yeah. We were explaining how it is not only Vaishyas who grow food or protect cows. all the members of the four varnas are dependent on the land, dependent on cows. So brahmanas, everyone, brahmanas would have cows, brahmanas would milk the cows. Vaishyas are especially those who are, and actually Vaishya, in a similar way that brahmanas form only a small percentage of society, the second small percentage are the kshatriyas, and the third small percentage are the vaishyas. Vaishyas are the ones who can engage people in all kinds of, especially cow care and agriculture practices. The vast majority of people in a Vedic culture or practically in any community are actually Shudras, because a vast majority of people are by nature dependent on the three orders of society, who have different, for example, the brahmanas, people depend on the brahmanas because brahmanas have knowledge, isn't it? People depend on kshatriyas because they can protect me physically, and they can provide food in case of emergencies, for example. And people would depend on vaishyas because the vaishyas are expert in terms of properly utilizing anything, especially land and cows, for production. But the vast majority of people don't know these, you know, we're getting a little glimpse of the science here behind, you know, animal impact and cow grazing and, you know, tunnel making. These things require some cultivation of knowledge to know the kind of reactions that are meant to take place so that you have good soil, etc. So majority of people cannot think too deeply about these subject matters. A Vaishya has that ability. He knows about the workings of these things, and therefore Vaishya are also in minority. Of course, more they are larger percentage than Brahmanas and Kshatriyas, but a much smaller percentage than Shudras. Shudras will be helping in different areas, in different ways, to help in the production of food. Yeah. Any other?
Hare Krishna Maharaj.
Yes.
You have nicely explained this economics of the cow. And we have one congregation devotee, he having 50 acres land.
Mm.
And we want to start this natural farming.
Mm.
So how your this ministries help us to guide? Because just now we have planned something and we want to start this one.
Where is your land?
In 40 kilometers away from the Aurangabad.
40 kilometers away from?
Aurangabad, this main city, near this 200 kilometers.
Yeah, yeah. Okay.
We'll
be happy to communicate with you.
Well,
we have a pamphlet and we have...
I have already taken this pamphlet,
yeah.
But whom I have to contact and how we, some did, project did, already...
Did
some,
you open the pamphlet?
Yes. I have opened and seen this one.
We have we recently we started to request individuals who are expert and knowledgeable in different fields.
Hmm.
We have requested them, can you become a consultant in our ministry?
Hmm.
So we're just right now in this pamphlet, because we just printed that like yesterday.
Hmm.
We had one before. This is like updated pamphlet. Entitled, you know, the mandate of the ministry and the team, those involved. So we have at present three consultants, and we have more in the pipeline. The three consultants we have, one is a consultant in Vedic farming. definitely somebody you might want to get in contact with. Mm-hmm. And we have also a consultant in holistic management. Mm. To a large extent, as I mentioned, actually, I should bring it up. Yeah. That's his address at the bottom. Dr. Sri Kumar.
Okay.
He's very knowledgeable about grazing, techniques of grazing, and management of soil and cows. So like this, we're bringing in other experts as well. We have Dr. Srinivas, who's expert in Ayurveda, because health is a very important dimension as well, health and diet. So we are, you know, the ministry is there to be, what's the expression? We are at your service. Ministries are meant to be providing whatever resources or manpower that different devotees are knowledgeable in different fields like that. So you can directly begin contacting. We have our secretariat, main office is in Mayapur, where we have always someone available through email. We have our own, yeah, you can write, maybe not so clear there. We have our own official email address where you can contact the ministry, or you can contact individuals whose address are all mentioned in the pamphlet. Yeah.
In Maharashtra, is someone is looking after this one, these projects?
It's interesting you should ask this question. Actually, something I have not mentioned, it's, well, maybe I did on the first day, but very briefly, and I'm not sure if we have, do we have pamphlets in regards to what is called Sri Surabhi Global on the table, in the box somewhere? This is a major flaw, or what is that? No. The title of the pamphlet is Sri Surabhi Global. Where's my saffron bag? Maybe there. Anyways, the point I want to make in response to your question, we have a few months back, maybe I think in October, established a national office in a national department called the Om Sri Surabhi campaign, and this is like a practical way in which to promote many of these ideals and instructions and whatnot that we have presented here. So we have three what is called national co-directors. And no, not this one. No. And we have started to select and appoint individuals on state levels to be state co or to be state directors. We have two names or two individuals here in Maharashtra who will officially very soon be appointed, but they've already been selected, have already agreed to take up, and are already active in different ways. One of them is actually right here in Pune. His name is Shwetadweep Prabhu. For example, when I came to Pune like a couple of weeks ago, or a week back, whatever, 10 days, he had organized a conference. You were there? Huh. So he's one person, and then we have another one sitting very close to you, Shamananda Prabhu. Shamananda is also one of our, I would say, active members, and he's, along with Shwetadweep, they will be like co-state directors for this Om Sri Surabhi campaign. And therefore, although his name is not in the pamphlet, because we can only put so many names in a pamphlet, we'll need a pamphlet that will, as we get more and more individuals who will be taking on this very important responsibility for the Om Sri Surabhi campaign, then we'll have the names and contacts of all of these devotees. In the meantime, before he disappears today, because he's going back to his village where he has some land, he's also doing cow-based agriculture, so you might want to speak to him, definitely. So like this, by coming in contact with the ministry is there for that purpose, to encourage and provide, to encourage individuals, to encourage projects, and to provide whatever assistance in the form, especially of information. We have different literatures, we have PowerPoints, we have documentaries, and things like that. And definitely we, you know, we want to be as helpful as possible, but we are, like any organization, we're limited in terms of manpower. But anyways, because he's right here in Maharashtra, so that he can be helpful in different ways. You can also contact, the address is in the pamphlet, you can contact our secretariat in Mayapur. They can provide additional information. I'd like to hear more about your project, definitely, because only in coming here recently, I came in contact with a number of individuals, a number of devotees who are active in different ways, and I was not aware of that. So there's many things actually in different states, I would say, that are taking place, because it's a natural development that there's an increased, I would say gradual, it's still very gradual, an increased awareness, an increased need in wanting to, because it's happening in general within India, you know, an interest in traditional education, an interest in natural farming. And we are very serious. I think we're going to probably, that should be part of the Om Sri Surabhi campaign, actually, to make a drive, to start a drive to enroll cowherds. Really, we just established a department also two months ago called National, what is it? Youth Rural Outreach. We need individuals, young people especially, who will begin to see the importance of villages, the importance of saving our villages. Our motto in one of those pamphlets, I think the pamphlets that I'm trying to locate right now, is save our cows, save our villages, and save our culture. It's right there, yeah. So that's on that pamphlet because these are directly related to what we were mentioning in regards to what Bhishma Dev is telling. He's telling the very same thing, you know. These are the three gifts of nature: cows, villages, which means land, and culture, which means knowledge, isn't it? So these three are in very, well, that's pretty close, but it's not what I'm looking for. But anyways, we do have this small booklet which has the same, giving the same message actually. Save our cows, save our villages, and save our culture. This was an outcome of 2 years ago during the Golden Jubilee of ISKCON. Our ministry took up, it's like, you know, different temples took up different initiatives. So we took an initiative of visiting 108 villages and doing programs and introducing this awareness of these two levels of dharma, spiritual dharma and material svadharma. And we have, now it's ongoing, we have I'm doing the same thing now, actually covering another 108 villages under the name Dharma Gogram Yatra. And whenever we end up a program in a village, we have an evening program where we invite people to become part of two small programs that we introduce. Of course, one has been existing for a long time. We explain to them about you can join and become members of a Namhatha Sangha. And you can also, because the Namhatha Sangha is especially to help you understand and develop the spiritual dimension of dharma, spiritual swadharma. And we also have another program called the Krishigo Goraksha Sangha. Krishigo Raksha Sangha, to help those who want to learn more about natural farming and cow care. So in the last village we did actually, in Dhone, where's Srinath? He walked out. Oh, he's right there, yeah. In Dhone we found two people who were ready to head up these programs. And so it's like when we go to the villages and just very, in a simple way, introduce to them this understanding, this knowledge, especially in Maharashtra, people many people are still very pious. In the villages we've seen, for example, that's pretty well all over India. Everyone has tulsi plant in front and they worship in their homes and they have a natural a care and affection for cows. So when we explain in this way, they become interested and so there's a methodical way in which we can cultivate these people, in which we can follow up. And this should be actually the duty and responsibility of every ISKCON city temple. Every ISKCON city temple. As a matter of fact, there's a resolution that we presented a proposal a few years ago to the ISKCON leadership. And it was passed as a resolution that actually every temple, if they so wish, we can't force it upon them, but should establish a department for rural development and have some devotees, at least one or two, who, as often as possible, go out to the villages and see what's happening in the villages and develop the know-how and the technique to actually reach out to them and provide the kind of information that we are presenting here, for example. And in this way, become familiar with villages and the need and the importance for us as a society, especially here in India. You know, Vedic culture is originating from India. This is the land of dharma. And we, or you I should say, especially in India, you who are born in India, as ordered by Lord Chaitanya, Lord Chaitanya gave you, all of you, a direct order, isn't it? Bharata bhumite hoila manusya janamajar janma sartha kori kora para upakar, have that special responsibility to take up this mission, this dual mission. Bolo Krishna, bhaja Krishna, koro Krishna shikha. This is koro Krishna shikha. You know, learn the science of Krishna consciousness, learn the science of dharma, learn the science of spiritual dharma, learn the science of material dharma. And in this way, bring to people in general, especially to our villages, what they are in dire need of. Every 30 seconds, we brought this up, I think it was part of one of the presentations, every 30 seconds here in India, a farmer is committing suicide. How many have seen this very nice documentary that came out called Mitti? Come on. It's on the YouTube. Mitti, no? Well, you should all see this movie. It's made by people from India and it's explaining why. Anyways, It's explaining this point. Miti, it's available on you can Google it. It was removed actually from the internet, but I have a copy of it actually. Huh? Miti, MITTI, huh? Miti. Miti means land, right? Soil, okay. Pretty close. Soil. Wonderful presentation of what is happening under our very eyes today and what steps can be taken. Of course, not everything there is correct, but it's an eye-opener. And it's really addressing what is taking place. Miti. Any last comment or question or reflection? Realization?
It's about the last session where you were mentioning from one of the purports of Srila Prabhupada that the conception of four castes and four orders of life as planned by the Lord Himself is to accelerate transcendental qualities of the individual person.
Ah, you noted that, eh?
Yeah, so that he may gradually realize his spiritual identity and thus act accordingly to get free from material bondage or conditional life.
Yes.
So this Prabhupada is saying, so to accelerate the development of transcendental qualities.
Yes.
So there is another perspective that we hear that, you know, the success of advancement in spiritual life is to please spiritual master.
Yes.
So
you please the spiritual master or founder Acharya by establishing Varnashram. Is it not an order given by Srila Prabhupada? Is it not a way to please the spiritual master by following the orders of the spiritual master? That's your point, no?
Yeah, means I want to properly understand how to do it, what you are saying. Because to please spiritual master or his representative means to do what they are telling us to do. So this involves Varna and Ashram. So is it the duty of the subordinate to worry about Varna Ashram, or is it duty of the leader, or it's duty of both? And they should discuss about it because it's very appealing. At the same time, we can use it where we can as a leader. But when we are subordinate, then what we should do? Like, that's what I want to understand, to apply what you are saying, that establish Varnashram.
You should head up the Department for Rural Development. Make a humble request to your higher-ups that, you know, I attended this seminar and I got a few realizations. Would you like to... So this is also preaching, no? We have to preach to everyone.
Yeah.
So... thank you all very much for attending our seminar. And there are some pamphlets, not all the ones that I expected to be there. But if you write to our ministry, the email address is there. If you visit, we have two websites. One is, well, it's right there. Yeah. You can get more information about some of our activities. Hare Krishna. Jai Srila Prabhupada ki. Jai Samasta Gaur Bhaktavrinda ki. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna. So we would like to thank Maharaj for so kindly explaining, you know, various points which we had not heard before, and taking so much time and being available for question answers, and encouraging all of us for the Vedic sociology and cow protection, taking care of land, and And philosophical aspect, spiritual aspect also.
Eating good food. Healthy food.
Healthy food, and also eating only after offering pure food to Krishna.
Ah, yes.
So Maharaj was very, very, Maharaj was mentioning that how when we are offering something to Krishna, we should be offering pure food. And especially I was really amazed to see Patram, Puspam, Phalam, Toyam, all that thing is connected to cows. Because only by taking care of cows, we can offer those pure things to Krishna.
Ah,
and yes. Also, we are very, very thankful to all of you, everyone, because Maharaj's presentation is successful only when everybody is carefully listening. And there are so many devotees who are coming forward and asking such wonderful questions. We have now two personalities who are going to take care of our whole state of Maharashtra and developing, you know, so many wonderful projects. And we have devotees like, you know, Prabhuji, who is having 50 acres of land available. So many things are happening, and Maharaj is saying that he can head up rural development. So lot of
so many wonderful things are happening.
So I'm sure we together can show so much result to Maharaj very soon, that Maharaj would like to come to Pune again. So again, we would like to thank Maharaj by three times chanting, Hari
Hariva,
Hariva,
Hariva.
And Maharaj, again, we are really very, very inspired by your association. And we definitely hope that something fruitful will come out.
Must come out. One last small point, I mentioned it before, but some of you may not know. We have a Sri Surabhi app. You can download this app, which has, it's an initiative we took, our ministry, about a year back. And there's all kinds of information about our Surabhi campaign, about our ministry. All the pictures of the Deshi cows are there. And also there is the mantra, Om Sri Surabhi Mantra. There is all kinds of links and information. I mean, a lot of information is actually there. So kindly avail of this opportunity, and you can mention that to other friends and people you may know. You don't need the card. All you have to know is you enter Sri Surabhi, S-R-I, and Surabhi, like that. Either for any Android or Apple phone as well. Yeah. Okay. Hare Krishna. Yeah.
Through Vaishnava and some concepts, we can teach these children.